This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show. Yes, indeed, this is Charlie Dobbin reporting in from Prince Edward County in my home office. Happy to say we had a couple of, how happy can you be? Winter's coming, but a couple of real good frosts this past week, which are very, very important when it comes to plants and winter coming. Because when we get that cold frost, there was a particularly good one on, was that either Wednesday night or Thursday night? I guess it was Wednesday night, where the frost stayed on the ground for quite a long time the following morning. But that's good because that's like a switch that's turned in the plants. The plants know that winter's coming, and they proceed to really hunker down for winter, and that's important. I mean, here Elliot's been just champing at the bit, wanting to get that final lawn mow done. He's got the lawn mower people coming to our house to do some, you know, winter maintenance and blade sharpening and all that, and he does not want to use the mower after they come. So he's just been, like I say, just, you know, every morning, can I mow today? Because remember, this time of year, we do our last mow after the first hard frost, and we make it our shortest mow of the year. So he'll be lowering the blades on the mower, yeah, maybe to 2.5 inches, maybe as much as 2 inches, but no lower than 2. So shorter than normal, because normal is around 3, 3.5 inches, but a little shorter. And the reason we do that is because having a shorter lawn as we go into winter, of course, we fall fertilize after that mow. So the winterizer fertilizer goes on, and it just makes a difference in the spring. It means that the sun can penetrate through to the soil faster when the grass is shorter, and warm up and thaw faster in the spring. And of course, that fertilizer helps the lawn get through the winter in good condition. So it's ready to go in the spring. And that's important as well. If you're a lawn person, it's important. I do have a couple of announcements, but let me just share the phone numbers with you, because as you know, I want to hear from you. Questions, suggestions, tips, techniques, things that are working for you, things that aren't. Love to share and love to hear what's happening at your place. The numbers, put this in your speed dial. Local is 416, local to the GTA, 416-360-0740. And if you're calling from outside the GTA, excuse me, anywhere in Ontario, 866-740-4740. So yes, indeed, do give me a call. You'll notice you're not hearing Frank's voice. And the reason why is because I'm really proud to announce on his behalf that Frank has, you know, good for you, officially retired. So yeah, Frank's been working a long, long, long time. And he's been in radio since he was a teenager. I mean, he's just been from pillar to post, on the stage, on the screen, on the end of a microphone, one way or the other. He's such a performer, and I'm going to miss him so much. We all will, I know. But he's not really going anywhere. He's still hunkered down in his cabin with Shirley up in Newmarket, probably got about 3 feet of snow right now. But yeah, good for him. You know, a break is something. Retirement is certainly a reward at the end of all those years of hard work. So congratulations, Frank. And for those of you that want to hear more about his announcement, his retirement announcement, it's tomorrow night, Sunday night, 7 p.m., Big Band Sunday night. Not sure if you're Big Band Sunday night listeners, but tune in to AM 740 for the beginning, anyway, of BBSN and listen to Frank's announcement for his future and the future for that show as well, because he's been doing really, really well on that show and working hard. He's been doing a lot of shows, not to mention voicing commercials and everything else. So he's been a busy guy. I noticed I've been yammering on too long. Let's go to our first announcement from our sponsors. Coming back, I'd like to hear from you. So please, like I say, give me a call, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. And I do have some upcoming events, which I will sort of proceed to share with you right after this.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
I love that. You've picked the right place for everything floral. Well, you know, we talk about more than just floral, but I do have some great floral stories to share with you as we move into the show. But put these on your calendar. This Monday, November the 8th, the Agent Court Garden Club is having a meeting. It's a virtual meeting via Zoom. Everyone is welcome. There's no need to join the club. So if you've got time on your hands and you'd like to learn how to make Christmas arrangements, this Monday, November the 8th, via Zoom, you sign in at 6:45. Meeting starts at 7. The headliner is a woman named Joanna, and she's going to teach you how to make your own Christmas arrangements. Well, we are getting to that time of year, aren't we? And of course, they'll have the results of the photo contest, because the club does run a photo contest. If you'd like to join in on the Zoom meeting, you'll email Cheryl, so C-H-E-R-Y-L dot Penner, P-E-N-N. er@hotmail.com. And yeah, timing on that is good. It feels like Christmas is kind of coming with that, those frosts. And I'd also like to announce Edna Caldwell. Thank you. She reminded me to reminded me to tell you that the Canadian Rose Society is pleased to announce that Charlie Dobbin, that's me, will be presenting, quote, Gardening in a Changing Climate, Tuesday, November 23rd, 7 p.m. via Zoom. That's Eastern Standard Time via Zoom. You can register for this event by going to capital CRS. So that CRS stands for Canadian Rose Society. And then registrar. So CRS registrar at bell.net. So again, timely presentation. Anyone can join. And as Edna says, we are looking forward to your presentation, and I'm looking forward to presenting it. So that will be on November 23rd. So please join in if you would like to learn some tips and techniques and ideas for gardening in a changing climate. And boy, is that a timely topic. Righto, we've got some callers on the line. It looks to me like Teresa is first up, calling in from Mississauga. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Good, thank you. Quick question. I have a couple of lavender bushes. They're fairly large. They span about 2 to 2.5 feet across. And they're both in bloom. They have a lot of beautiful blooms. I don't know what to do. Usually I cut them back by now. Do I just go ahead and cut off the blooms and cut it back?
I would. Yeah. I would. Yeah, that's the real rule of thumb with the hardy lavender is cut it back. So you know where the new growth is. This year's growth is quite obvious. It's all soft and tender compared to last year's growth. Last year's tends to be all kind of woody. And I think the rule is you cut off about a third of this year's growth, not a third of the whole plant, about a third and that will mean. So take the flowers off, but you know what? Enjoy them. Bring them in the house.
Yeah, I do cookies. That. I've had quite a few during the summer. This bush has really given me a lot of flowers this year.
It's been a good year for a lot of sun-loving plants, hasn't
it? Yeah. So I just cut back a third of the new growth.
Correct.
Okay, and that's it. And do I cover them? Do I usually don't cover them.
No, I would not when they're established. And lavender's a bit challenging to cover at the best of times.
Yeah.
But once the plant like that's been in the ground for a few years.
It has been, yes.
Let it be. Pardon?
It has been in there quite a few years.
Yeah, it's the newly planted tender plants. Like if you had just planted that lavender in the last 2 months, I'd say, yeah, kick some dirt up around the crown, around the base, or some leaves around the base, just to provide a little bit of extra insulation. And it's not to keep plants warm that we do these things. It's just to help them when we get traditional stupid winter weather in Ontario.
Right.
I say stupid because it's, you know, like, look, we were minus 3 2 days ago, and we're going to be up to 10 or 11 or 12 in 2 days. So it's those crazy extremes where we go high and low, and yep, we'll be doing that for the next few months, that is so hard on the plants. And that's where that little bit of insulation helps temper the extreme temperatures.
Okay. So I'll just cut back a third of the new growth, and that's it, and leave it at that. How about in the spring? Do I just leave it alone, or do I cut it back some more?
The only thing in the spring is you'll look for any deadwood. Always remove the deadwood that you can see in the spring.
I see. Now, if I want to trim it back because it's getting really big where the spot is, do I have to dig up the whole plant, or can I just trim down to the ground, or how do I shrink it back?
Oh, you want next spring, not too early in the spring, but, you know, by about May or, yeah, mid to late May in Mississauga, I would, if you want to shear it back to make it a smaller plant.
Right.
If you say, well, it's got a branch sticking out one side I don't like, then you can, you know, just prune that one right out. So, no, you can shape the plant any way you like, but wait until it starts into active growth before you do that.
Okay. So I don't need to dig it out and cut it in half or anything like that.
No. Oh, no, that won't work. No, it's not like a hosta. It's not like you can dig and divide.
I see. Okay.
That's its own little plant. You could take cuttings if you wanted to root some cuttings and start more plants.
Oh,
but otherwise,
how do I do that? Just cut it and put it back in the dirt?
Well, you usually will grow roots before we'll grow roots even just in a jar of water. But again, you'll do that in the spring, not now.
Oh, interesting. Oh, good. Okay. Yes. I would like to do that. Yes.
There you go. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. You take care.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Yeah, Teresa, that's an interesting point, that idea of taking cuttings. I, as many of you know, I teach horticulture at Durham College, and we just did a lab on what's called asexual propagation. So propagating plants asexually means with pieces of the plant. So we have clones, little clones of the mother. And the students have just all handed in their lab yesterday, so that's kind of on my mind. And we did a bunch of cuttings in September from herbs that were in the gardens at Durham College. So sage and thyme and rosemary and lavender. So we did cuttings then, but it's too late now. You wouldn't even try to do cuttings at this point. It's just, again, as I mentioned, top of the show, plants are hunkering down for winter. There's nothing actively growing at this point. Righto, 29:21, time to listen to some important messages from our sponsors. Be right back after this to talk with, I can't see, it's Lucilia, it looks like, calling from Guelph.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right. It looks like we've got Lucilia on the line, calling in from Guelph. Good morning, Lucilia.
Good morning, Charlie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, great, because I've got you on speaker so that I can make some notes. I am a first-time caller.
Oh, I'm going to get the bell. I'll get the bell for next week. Yep.
Okay, thank you. I've been listening to your show for a while, and thank you. You give lots of wonderful information. My question today is about a Christmas cactus that I inherited from my mom when she passed away in February. I know you've talked about the cactus before, and mine was actually, well, my mom's plant was actually in full bloom throughout March and April with pink and red flowers. And then I know from a conversation you had on another show, I actually have two kinds of cactus within the one pot. It's about 2 feet in diameter, and it's got the one that looks like a crab sort of leaf and the one that's long. And I think you said one is a Christmas and one is a Thanksgiving cactus.
Or Easter, Easter.
Pardon?
It's an Easter cactus. There's Easter and Christmas.
I'm sorry. Okay, so my mistake. I did have it out on the porch, not in direct sun, and I only brought it in probably about 4 days ago. It actually had new little leaves coming out. And I've brought it in now, and I'm afraid I don't know how to look after it, and obviously it has sentimental value. So could you please advise what I can do? Can I divide the two different plants? Where should I put it? How should I water it?
All right, so these are great questions, and also, you know, congratulations on your inheritance. A Christmas slash Easter cactus is a great plant to inherit. I have one that my aunt left to me, probably 10 years ago now. So they can live for a very, very long time. I've had some of the callers over the years send me photographs of Christmas cactus. They're like 3 feet across. I mean, they're huge, or even bigger. So big that it becomes impossible to transplant them because they're just so unwieldy to deal with. But for your purposes, if I were you, I would not separate. I would leave those plants in that pot unless it's really bothering you having the two mix like that. I think it
one
sounds kind of cool having the two colors.
One the other, like the different parts.
Say that again, they're what?
Well, the one that looks like a crab claw doesn't look as perky and healthy. It sort of looks more wilty than the one that's the elongated leaves.
Well, their requirements are virtually identical. And, of course, their requirements are as much sun as you can give them, particularly in the winter, because, of course, winter, our days are shorter, the sun is much lower in the sky, so the intensity of the sun is much less. So in the summer, you're right, get them outside. They do not need to go in full sun outside, but certainly a bright spot, indirect, is fine all summer. Bringing yours in the last couple of days is perfect, though you could leave a Christmas cactus out or Easter cactus out for a couple of light frosts. They will not die in a light frost. And what you'll find is the shorter days and those cold temperatures will cause the plant to set flower buds. So the buds that will show up on the tips of the leaves. Now, you still may see that after having it out this long and bringing it in. The warmth of our house changes everything for the plant, right? Cool outside. Slow, no growth, just hanging on, bring it inside, the furnace is on, suddenly the plant goes, oh my gosh, it's time to grow, and they start to grow, and the buds, if they're there, will start to elongate and open very quickly. If they're not there, they're likely to show up as well. So your job right now is give it as much brightness as you can, feel the soil. If the soil feels like a desert, then wait 3 more days and then water with room temperature water. Always feel the soil before you water, and always make sure that you wait a couple of days after it feels like a desert, because it's better to err on the side of too little water rather than too much.
Right. Charlie, I do have one of those probes that you put into the pots to gauge the dryness. Mm-hmm. Is that okay to use, or you prefer like just putting the finger into the soil?
Well, the probe is great because it'll go down deeper into the soil than your finger will.
Okay.
So with your finger, you'll feel the top of the soil, and you'll feel it'll be a bit spongy, and then it'll be a bit crusty and spongy below. And then, you know, a week or two after that, it'll actually feel hard. It'll feel like a, you know, a tennis court. So the probe, on the other hand, will tell you what's going on a couple inches below that. And do you want to go to bone dry? Yeah, you can, but don't leave it at bone dry for too long. You know, the moisture meter has wet on one end, dry on the other, and moist in the middle. So you definitely want it down to the dry side before you water. Water thoroughly when you water, meaning make sure that the soil is well watered, but that the plant doesn't sit in water after it's been watered. Give it 10 or 15 minutes, pour off any excess. I assume the plant is in a pot with drainage holes?
Yes, it is.
Good. And if you do want to, at the end of the day, say, no, I want to separate these plants, I want to enjoy them separately, do it, but do it in the spring. April or May. Hopefully both of them will have
advice. Thank you, because I was worried that I would kill this thing. So I appreciate all the advice you can give me.
The only way you're going to kill that plant is with overwatering, really. It's a very tough plant to kill. It's only water that'll do it in.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. You always have all the right answers. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Well, good timing with your call, because I'm sure we have lots of listeners who have the same question you have right there. So, good timing. Thank you for your call. All right. We have waiting on the line patiently, Anna, phoning in from Toronto. Good morning, Anna.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. I had called before regarding my mother's apricot tree, but today I'm calling on her behalf because she was given a fig tree Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know where to put it, in a cooler place, with light, with heat, with no heat. She doesn't know how to take care of it. And she said she noticed there's a little bit of blooms on it. Like, I think there were some old figs on it. I'm not sure.
Hmm. So this is a fruiting fig, like an edible fig.
Yes.
How big is the plant?
I would say about 2-3 feet.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Right. So this is where we need Stephen Biggs. He's the guy. He knows everything about figs because he wrote the book. The book called The Fig Pig. So what we know about figs is they're tender plants. They cannot survive outside, just sitting outside. Even planted in the garden, they wouldn't survive. The only way that I know people keep figs alive in the winter outside in Ontario is if you bury the whole plant lying flat down on in a trench. So I don't think your mom's going to do that.
No,
I think
I've heard
the
that.
Best, yeah. Does she have a cool basement or a bedroom she doesn't use that's not heated or anything like that?
She has the cooling room.
But it's probably dark. Yeah.
It has a little window, but it's very cool. Like, there's no insulation. It's right under the stairs.
Right. Yeah. So like a root cellar idea.
Yeah.
Hmm. Does the plant, you said it looks like it's got a few little figs on it. It has leaves on it, I assume.
Yeah, it has leaves on it. I haven't really, but by her description, I haven't seen it, but, it's, about 2-3 feet, and it had some old, growth on it, like figs. They were ready to bloom.
Yeah, to harvest.
To harvest.
Right. So the thing is that at this late date, any figs that are on it will not produce edible figs, unless they're like edible today. Like, again, days are getting shorter, plants know winter's coming, they're hunkering down, they're not actively growing any longer, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to channel what Stephen would say right now. You have two options. Your mom has two options. One is put it in a sunny window on the main floor, whether it's the living room or the sunroom or whatever. Treat it like you would a tropical plant, water as necessary, as a house plant. The other option would be to force it into semi-dormancy. Of course, the forcing into semi-dormancy can be shocking, and I'm a little hesitant to suggest going into such a dark room. The cool is good, and it will go dormant if you put it in the cool. I'm not sure. I think if you put it into that cold room, it could survive that whole process, because, of course, it's going to have to come out in the spring. Could your mom even do that, handle this tree up and down the stairs?
You mean, for how long? Like, for the winter, just leave it down there?
Yes.
She could leave it down there, but would she water it? And then she could bring it out in the spring. She has, a veranda.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave it out. Or in the backyard. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly what you do. And you would not water it a lot in the winter, but you would have to keep track of it. You wouldn't want it to go bone dry because it could die, but you certainly don't want to overwater it because it's going to be going dormant in that cool room. And it'll just lose its leaves. It'll drop whatever is on it in the way of little figs, leaves, whatever. But the challenge is you don't want to kill it in that process. And so she could go either way. She could go, let's make it dormant and bring it out next spring, or let's keep it up in the living room where we can keep an eye on it and water as necessary.
Okay. And room temperature is okay, like if you kept it in the living room?
That's right. And then, of course, it's not going to be dormant. It's going to be very much trying to grow. So, of course, she will have to water it on occasion. Again, use one of those moisture meters if she doesn't have one. Mm-hmm. The one that Lucilia mentioned when she called in. They're very handy when it comes to a big pot like that, because you just can't get your finger down 6 inches. You can feel the surface, but it's challenging to get the watering right. And interesting that somebody would give your mom a plant like a fig at this time of year, because it's...
Yeah, she loves it. And they chat, like, that was her cousin. And this will be her baby, she had ducks she raised ducks for 5 months, and she had to give them away to the farm recently, and now this will be her baby.
Her replacement baby for the ducks. And listen, if this helps, and I'm just looking for Stephen Biggs, S-T-E-V-E-N, Okay. Biggs, B-I-G-G-S. He yes. and his daughter Emma have been guests a couple of times on the show.
Yes, I've heard him once. Yes.
Yeah, and so he's very accessible on the web. Flipping back. You're probably hearing my paper flipping. I'm very old school. I write everything down. Stephen can be contacted through a website that's one word, foodgardenlife.com. So one word, foodgardenlife.com. Feel free to also send that question in to Stephen. I'm sure he'd be happy to share his. He's been growing figs for years and years, and he's tried so many different methods. He lives in North York, so he's he could be your North neighbor York. For all I know. And he's really good at coming up with best ways around puzzles when it comes to figs.
And it is a puzzle. It'd be a nice project. Mom thanks you. She said, I said, are you going to call Charlie? And I'm like, okay, I have to call whether I'm nervous or not. But, she thanks you. And I recommended you to a friend. She had a problem with a kale lily. She was wondering. I said, well, call or email Charlie Dobbin. She looked you up, and she may do that. But, thank you very much.
thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. But I want to keep you all the best to you, and best of luck to Frank.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think Frank's a happy guy. He's dancing in the rainbow under his retirement rainbow.
Oh, good for him.
Thank you for calling. And you brought up the subject of email. So why don't I take this opportunity to suggest anybody who is worried, is having trouble getting in on the phone lines, you can email me. Great. Thank you, and bye-bye, Anna. My first initial C for Charlie, so C.Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, so C.Dobbin at mzmedia.com. That is one way to get a hold of me through the station. And remember as well, the show is podcast, so if you're listening and you're saying, oh, that's good information, but I didn't get all the details, remember, you can listen back afterwards. The show is typically up on AM 740 and available to be, it's basically recorded when we say podcast. So the show is recorded. You can listen to the recording, which is also known as a podcast, starting, I believe, on Tuesday, maybe even Monday afternoon, just by going to AM 740, the website. And there you'll find there's tabs across the top, and one says podcasts. Go to podcast, go to the Garden Show, and they're all there listed by date. So if there's been a show in the past or today where you're saying, that's just too much information for me to write down, you can always re-listen. And, it can be useful to listen back, just to hear those details that can happen so fast. And it's like, oh, I missed all that. Let me just quickly mention the phone numbers, because there are a couple of lines open, and I'm certainly happy to hear from you live and direct here from, I'm in Prince Edward County, Carlos is in Liberty Village, so we're enabling the tech to make sure that you can get through to us. If you're in the GTA, the local number is 416-360-0740. And if you're outside the GTA, like in my area, for example, you would be calling 866-740-4740, exactly. I've got some emails I could share with you, and maybe I'll spend 1 minute on an email before we go to our second last break. Linda Moore sent a note. So her and her husband, I believe, built a raised garden. So 4 foot by 8 foot, about 4 feet off the ground. The bed is 6 to 7 inches deep. So it sounds like the posts are up off the ground. Then they've built like a platform that's about 7 or 8. I think it ended up being even more like 12 inches deep, but 4 by 8 on legs. And And she just wondered about preparing it for winter, because this was a new build this past growing season. I think she was worried that if too much snow built up, it might collapse. So she thought she'd put a plastic sheet over it, and then the snow would be more likely to sweep off the top and not get all kinds of weight from the snow. I would say you could do either. Sealing it up, you are likely to get a lot of mildew growing in there, a lot of fungus. So if you are going to seal it up, make sure you've got some air holes happening. Linda was writing to me from East Garifraxa, so near just west of Orangeville, and they do get quite a bit of snow there. So you may have to go out and sweep the snow off if you're worried about the weight aspect. But I would try and leave it as open as possible, just to make sure you've got that. It'll heat up faster in the spring, and also you'll avoid a lot of mildew and fungal growth inside that raised bed. But gotta love raised beds. They make gardening so much easier as we get a little bit older, and we can certainly put great soil into them, so we don't have to struggle with our native soil. All right, on that note, let's be off to listen to some important sponsors and be right back. Valerie is waiting on the line, calling in from Scarborough, right after this.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. Small creatures become a big problem. I'm going to tell you a story, a sweet story about a fox that has adopted us. Funny how I keep getting adopted by small creatures. Young female fox has decided to live in our backyard, which could be a really good thing because this is one hungry fox and she's eating bugs like crazy. So when those Japanese beetles roll in, I'm ready to go because I've got my pest control little furry creature out there looking after some of the pests. But first, I guess we'll have to get through the winter. I'm not too worried about bugs just now. All right. Valerie is waiting patiently on the line. Good morning, Valerie.
I want to thank you for a beautiful show.
Thank you.
Lots of information, and I'm a long-time listener and a second-time caller. My
nice.
Question is, my bulbs, dahlia bulbs, mm-hmm. I have a little bit of, dug them up, and they mm-hmm. have tripled in size,
mm-hmm.
but I'm out of peat moss, and mm-hmm. I went to Home Depot, I went to a nursery. I can't get peat moss anymore,
mm-hmm.
and I'm stuck. I have them ready to put away for the winter,
right?
And I have no peat moss. What am I going to do?
Here's a suggestion. Instead of using peat moss, because you're right, it does tend to be limited availability, when you're traveling around to the Home Depots or the Canadian Tires at this time of year, because you are in Scarborough, so you do have a couple of garden centers not that far maybe as well. But there is something out there that is a peat moss substitute called Core.
C-O-I-R.
How
do you spell it? C-O-R?
C-O-I-R.
C-O-I-R.
So Core is a byproduct of the coconut industry. So as you know, the coconut milk and the coconut fruit is a round nut. But that round nut is covered with a husk. So that husk is what Core is made out of.
Uh-huh.
And it's shredded up. It acts very similar to peat moss in the sense that it will hold moisture. It is inert. It has no, it's sterile. It has no nutritional value. It's clean. It has no pests or diseases. And it's affordable. So I would be inclined to use Core as a peat moss substitute for your dahlia bulbs. Or failing that, and the thing about Core is you'll find it in a little brick sometimes, and it's really, really compressed into literally the size of a brick that our houses are built out of.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take it home, you put it in a big Rubbermaid or whatever kind of tub, add water, give it an hour or so, and it blows up to 5 times that size or 10 times that size. So it does really, really absorb a lot of moisture.
Yeah, but the wetness?
Right. Well, that's your issue, is that you'd have to squeeze it out and then you'd have to give it a couple days to dry down. The other option would be to use just fresh, unopened bags of potting soil. So any good quality potting or soilless mix
Charlie, triple mix will make the bulbs start to grow again.
No, potting soil. Not triple mix. A bag, okay. Sealed bag. Because you want sterile. It's got to be sterile.
Yeah.
Clean. You don't put your dahlias into any kind of garden soil or triple mix, anything that might have life, bacteria, fungal, spores. You want clean, and that's why we use peat moss, because peat moss is very clean and sterile.
Right.
So that's the main thing. And of course, the dahlias don't want to be in pure, dry substrate anyway. You do need to add some moisture. You add some dampness, not soggy, but some dampness, to otherwise they're just going to shrivel up.
Yeah, what I do is I have about 20 of them, and I wash them all the with a very dull knife. Take all the soil off between the rainworms or what you call it. Yeah,
yeah.
They're hunkered down for the winter already, and I wash everything off. I dry them, let them dry for a couple of days, and then I want to put them into peat moss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do not shrink. They in the peat moss, they remain the way I put them in now.
Okay, and that's just dry peat moss?
Dry, yes, very dry. Oh. I never watered them. I got them for about... the first ones I bought were tiny, tiny, and now I have an abundance. they are... they don't shrivel with the peat moss, and I don't water them at all. All winter, not a drop of water, and they come out beautiful. They get shoots by March or April, and
start potting them up. Do you? But you must have them in a cool temperature.
Yes,
you have a cool.
Yes, cool. Yeah,
that makes a big difference. Okay, so then forget the core idea. Just get some unopened, clean, fresh bags of potting soil.
Okay.
Though it won't say potting soil; it'll say soilless mix. So soilless mix is peat-based. Peat moss is the 99% of what's in that bag is peat moss, and there's a little bit of vermiculite, a little bit of perlite. Just use that as a peat moss substitute.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Okay. That's good.
It's packed dry, so it will be dry, but it's nice and loose. So just like your peat moss, you can very easily, tuck the dahlia tubers down into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
Good
Charlie.
Stuff. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
And
welcome. Don't be a stranger, like Frank and I used to say. Coffee's always on. first-time callers. My plan is to be in the studio next Saturday. So I'll be in studio, live and direct from Liberty Village. Frank left the bell for me, the famous Salvation Army. It's like a little tiny replica of the big bells that they use for fundraising for the Salvation Army. So I will get that bell, and I will carry it on my person at all times, so that on Saturdays, when first-time callers call in, we can make a big fuss, because we do like to fuss about first-time callers. It's always exciting. Last break right now. It's not really a break. I'm not going anywhere, but last chance for our sponsors to share some important information. And then right after that, we'll be back. We've got lots of callers, so let's get to it. And we'll be back for Leslie, who's calling in from Oshawa.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, we are here and listening to Leslie. Good morning, Leslie. What's going on at your place?
Hi, good morning. It's very nice to take my call.
Thank you.
I have 8 orchids, and they're doing wonderfully. I bought 3 very small ones at a grocery store in the summertime, and I'm thinking that they need to be transplanted, but they're in it feels like a sponge.
Okay, so sorry, what was the plant again?
Orchid.
Oh, sorry, speaking to you, your phone just broke up a tiny bit there. 3 little plants from Loblaws. Yes, that's okay, Carlos. So what were the 3 plants?
Yes, they're orchids.
Oh, orchids. Sorry. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
3 little orchids, and they're in sponge. Yes, indeed. Orchids are not grown in soil. orchids naturally are not terrestrial plants, right? Terrestrial plants grow down at ground level in the soil. Orchids grow up in trees and where they land. And that's what makes one of the things that makes them so cool. So if you're going to transplant them, there are very specific supplies. Probably what you have are what are called moth orchids. That common name is moth orchid or Phalaenopsis. And they can be grown in bark. So orchid bark, which is a mixture of fir and different barks. Or they can be grown in, they've got different sort of, like you say, spongy sort of substrates. Main thing is they have to be grown in a pot with incredibly good drainage. We never want to sit our orchids in lots and lots of water. So what I would do is, you are calling from Oshawa. So I would probably go to Sheridan Nurseries. They're in Whitby, unless there's a garden center closer that might have supplies. And get yourself, you just want some slightly bigger pots. There are specific orchid pots. But what I'll often use is just a clay pot, but not too much bigger. If you were in tiny, tiny 2 or 3 inch pots, you're going to move up to a 4 or a 5 inch pot, unless for some reason you want to put all three of them together. But again, you're still only going to go to maybe a 7 inch pot if you wanted to put them all together. Either way, I would get them into a slightly bigger pot. No, if you don't have to do it now, wait. I would wait if you can. And you could even wait until Valentine's Day, February, when the Southern Ontario Orchid Society has its big show, and assuming they're having the big show this Valentine's Day in Toronto, and you can get every orchid supply you ever would ever need, not to mention a lot of expertise and advice. So right. I would hold off if you can.
Okay.
This isn't the optimal. Sorry?
It sounds good to me.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's not optimal to transplant plants now. Plants are hunkering down and it's stressful to transplant. So we try to minimize the stress right now. We try to just let them slowly go into their semi-dormant slowdown period. And in the spring, when they're all perky and waking up, then we can say, all right, let's transplant, let's fertilize, let's really make some things happen. So that would be my suggestion. And we'll talk more about orchids as we get into the winter, because I'm sure lots more callers will come in on that. And I'm just scribbling a note to myself. All right. Thanks so much for your call, Leslie. And let's see, is Diane still waiting for us? See if we can fit in your question, Diane, calling us from Dorchester.
I'll make it real fast. You mentioned about winter fertilizer after the last cut. What are the numbers that I should be looking for on the bag for the winter fertilizer?
Off the top of my head, there aren't that many manufacturers. Probably Scott's, which will be Turf Builder, has one out. For sure, they have one out there. Seems to me the bag is red or kind of a reddish-brown color. It will say right on it, winterizer fertilizer or fall fertilizer. If you look at the three numbers, the first number, the nitrogen, will be lower than what you're used to. We put high nitrogen in the spring and low nitrogen in the fall. Then as you move across, the phosphorus is, nothing major either. What you'll notice, though, is the third number on a fall fertilizer, the potassium, is quite a bit higher than the spring fertilizer. So the nitrogen and potassium reverse between spring and fall. Potassium is a really important essential element which helps all plants get through the rigors of winter. It's a really important element for color, for flavor, for all-round health, and for sustaining some of the stresses of winter. So when it comes to our lawns, of course, we do put that fall fertilizer on, and the lawn will be perky and ready to go in the spring when the snow melts.
So it's essential then. We top-dressed our grass in the backyard, and we didn't fertilize it because we did it in September, so now it would be safe to do it?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And you know what? You'll be happy you did it. You'll have
thank
the best
so
lawn
much.
Ever.
Okay, yeah. Have a good
thank you. Thanks so much for calling. Oh, my goodness, what a great show, and where did it go? Where did the hour go? Okay. You know what, Sharon, thank you very much for waiting all this time, but we will not be able to fit you in. We're out of racetrack, as Frank would say, but let's see if Sharon will call early next week, because you know what the mantra is: call early, call often, one question per caller. And so Sharon, we had you on hold, and maybe we can have you first up next week. If you call in early enough, we will prioritize your question. Quick question from Kim Akbar, and I know others of you have this question. She bought a perennial plant, it's a hibiscus, in a pot. She thinks she might be moving over the winter, and she's wondering, what do I do? Can I leave it in the pot, or do I have to plant it in the ground? And she's writing from Brampton. The answer is, never leave pots above ground if you expect the plant to survive the winter. They might, but they might not. It's much colder above ground than in the ground. If you think you're going to move, or if you're not sure where that plant's going, ultimately, leave it in its pot, but bury the pot. You can always, get it out of the ground if you need to in the middle of winter, boil some water, thaw the soil, leverage it out of the ground, and take it with you when you move. But I would get it in the ground. Super important. There we go. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Carlos, for all your help. I will be back next week in the studio, live and direct from Liberty Village. This is Charlie Dobbin and The Garden Show. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.